Hey, everybody, welcome back. It is Skews Day once again. Despite everything, we're still here. The show still exists. We still exist. We're still doing the thing. It's November 12th, 2024. I'm Trey. That's Mark. Mark, how you doing? Bright and cheery, walking on sunshine, smelling flowers.
I've decided to try heroin. Welcome to Radio Free Douchebagistan, everybody. We're going to talk about all the happenings today. Here's a fun bit of thing that was happening on the internet today. In Google Trends, the top three results today were, should I change my vote? Will tariffs cause inflation and things to buy before tariffs? Mm-hmm. So people have voted for Donald Trump 7 days ago. Welcome to the resistance. What the fuck?
Yeah. So first of all, those of you here now, we did our Patreon episode last Friday. Was about the kind of aftermath of everything, and I'm sure some of the things will come up again or whatever. But we mentioned on there that last Tuesday night, the night of the election, Google searches spiked for the phrase, did Joe Biden drop out, right? Which is also very alarming, in my opinion, as it pertains to the general state of the electorate. So I'm not surprised by these results or whatever, but you realizing that this is kind of what we're working with on both sides in terms of voters. And it's like, it's not really that surprising, I guess, that things are. It's kind of surprising that I get that things held together as long as they did.
Right.
Take that into account. But
anyway, it happened and we're here and the hell is empty and all the devils are here, buddy. I've been trying to figure out what my favorite thing that happened that I didn't anticipate yet. I mean, like besides Trump winning, like the what would happen if he won. Keir Starmer, Prime Minister of the UK, announced, talked to Donald Trump on the phone and they figure out who the best ambassador from the UK to the Trump administration is going to be. And it's going to be a guy that hung out with Jeffrey Epstein. So they understood the assignment. Mm-hmm. Trump's favorite for attorney general is Mike Davis, who has been posting recently that he wants to drag their political bodies through the streets. And if you're wondering who he's met, he also said he wants to build a gulag for liberal white women to do laundry in. So, nice. Personal favorite.
That was like when at this stage of the game last time around, when he started naming appointees and cabinet members and stuff, like it was a big topic then too, because it was like, who the fuck are these? And every one of them was like kind of sane-ish, like Mad Dog Mattis and people like that. But for every him, there was Rick Perry being the Secretary of Energy or Betsy DeVos and things like that. And people were all freaking out about it. But a lot of those people, even as insane as some of them were, they eventually turned on him because they were like, this is too insane for me. And that was a big part of the whole idea with Project 2025 and a second go round is we're going to get that right this time. And by that getting that right, I mean lunatics only. Sane people need not apply. Lunatic non-believers only. So as bad as we thought it was last time at this stage, it's going to be even wilder this time around, and it already is. Apparently, his nominee for Secretary of Defense is a Fox News host, and Kristi Noem is Homeland Security. Yeah, so, here we go.
Pete Hegseth, that's the guy who went on TV and said he hadn't washed his hands in 10 years because he didn't believe in germs. RFK has indicated that he wants to get rid of food labeling. So I get, or somebody, I forget exactly whose proposal that was, but I guess we're going to do genocide on people with peanut allergies now. Speaking of RFK, he's launched a webpage to help solicit ideas for who to appoint important roles, to help, like health policy roles during Trump 2.0, including top spots at like the FDA. And one of the most popular names on this website is Dr. Simone Gold, who's one of the women from people from America's Frontline Doctors, who told people that the secret cure for COVID-19 was hydroxychloroquine. And she spent 2 months in jail after January 6th.
Back in the game, baby.
yeah. I think my favorite one is they floated Tulsi Gabbard for a national security role. And just a woman who grew up an Assadist who grew up in a Hare Krishna adjacent right wing sex cult. I think somebody else got CIA. I forget who it was, but like I thought she was going to get CIA. And I was like, well, CIA was founded by members of a religious sex cult. It was just Christians and Skull and Bones. So I guess it's like, at least that's a diversity hire, baby. So yeah, I haven't seen how they voted on this bill today, but there was Congress is fast tracking a bill titled the Stop Terror Financing and Tax Penalties on American Hostages Act. They were supposed to vote today. Insanely bleak bill to be fast-tracking when Trump's about to take power again. It would give the Treasury Department unilateral authority to revoke tax-exempt status if any nonprofit deemed to be a, quote, terror-supporting organization. Of course, civil rights groups.
The ACLU, right?
Yeah.
But yeah.
Yeah. So like,
not good.
If like, for context here, a bunch of 501c3s funded litigation against Trump in his first term and won a lot. So like especially like talking about environmental policy here, like wanted a 90% clip to stop environmental rollbacks. And so just with unilateral authority, he could label them eco-terrorists for suing to stop, you know, environmental policy rollbacks. Also, a lot of like the best journalism outfits going now right now are nonprofit funded by 501c3s. So basically, if this would be a way to curtail criticism and resistance and Congress, if you want to do something proactive, you can call your congressperson and tell them to oppose H.R. 9495, the Stop Terror Financing and Tax Penalties and American Hostages Act, because they're using the guise of the war on terror to do some fucked up domestic civil liberty shit, which is a movie we've all seen before. So, yeah, there we go.
Yep. Well, onward we go. With us is producer Laura doing her thing back there. This is Weekly Skews, still yet. Not in the gulag just yet, me and Mark, but who knows how long we'll last, but we'll see. Before we continue tonight, I've got some announcements for you. As always, I'm also still on the road. If you want to see me do stand-up live and in person, go to treycrowder.com and check out my upcoming tour dates. I'll be in Phoenix, Arizona this Sunday night. That'll be fun. Then the Bay Area after that, Nashville in mid-December, and finishing the year out in Chicago, Illinois. I got plenty of dates up already for 2025 too, though, so go to treycrowder.com, check them all out. Also, if you enjoy this program and would like to show your support for it in these trying times, you can do so by going signing up on Patreon. Go to weeklyskews.com/more or go on Patreon and search for my name. Either way works. $5 a month gets you 2 full-length bonus episodes. Like I said, the one we did on Friday was all trying to make sense of this big mess, an episode that carries over into tonight. But in normal times, we talk about things that come up in between the shows or stuff we didn't have time for, or just other things we want to talk about. It's just this show, but it's more of it. So if you like this show, you'll like the bonus show too. Sign up on Patreon, get some more skews in your life. As for the show tonight, as I just alluded to, we're going to be talking about what else? The aftermath, the fallout, the devastation, whatever you want to call it, of last week's electoral results, but also what it means, where we go from here, what the takeaways should be. And no one has these answers, but if anyone's close, it's obviously us too. Me and Mark are the guys that can get as close to figuring it out as anyone out there. So we're going to get into all that a little later, and we'll see how it goes. But first, we begin, as always, with the Daily Dumbass. Laura, graphic, please. Tonight's DD, anyone who didn't know that the rules of the blame game are that you blame the least powerful people first.
A lot of young people are also fed up with very super progressive attitudes. I think the Democrats, Joe, going back to your initial question, and you may disagree with this, I think they need to move to the center. I think
What does that mean, though? When you say they need to move to the center, what do they need? Are you saying that they should not support trans people? Like, let's just be specific, because that's what the ads are doing. So if the analysis and the immediate aftermath is they have to move to the center, I mean, what is the center? Because I disagree that is it, but I want to hear what is the center? Because you're not the only person, to be clear, I've heard say that. Yeah. I've heard, you know, the Democrats have been in my phone this morning.
The center are the people I described before. For, I'm not even talking about an issue. We can talk about issues. Or the people I described before who bounce back and forth, who play between the 45-yard lines, that tends to win elections. If you look historically where it is, so that's my feeling. And we can agree to disagree.
All right, so we also have with us U.S. Special Correspondent for
He didn't say anything. All these they need to move to the center takes when Kamala Harris ran a deeply centrist campaign are like utterly bizarre to me. She ran the campaign that the centrist Democrats, the Dream campaign, the centrist pundits, and the and Never Trump Republicans, she ran it, and she lost.
Yeah.
And well, I don't know what pivot. Sorry, go ahead.
Well, just what I said at the end of the episode, the Patreon episode, and also kind of in a video today, I think, is that like I think there's a little bit of both. Like, I think they should move further left economically and fiscally and be more progressive in like the Bernie Sanders way, because those types of progressive politics are popular with people, you know, lifting people up, paying people more money and having health care and infrastructure and things of that nature. And they need to be further left on that instead of neoliberal bullshit and bending over for the banks and all that type of stuff, mm-hmm. still being in the pocket of rich people. So they should be further left on that. But at the same time, a lot of this isn't even a problem with the party. But I do think there is like a branding problem with the American left in general when it comes to like a lot of identity politics stuff. And I'm not saying we still have to stand up for trans people and demand that they have equal rights. I'm not saying we abandon anybody, but it's more the kind of like the, like, you know, preachy, scoldy, fucking, you know, getting mad at a tweet or a joke someone had 10 years ago type of that type of thing, or, sure, or not taking, like, context into account, like the type of shit that people think of when they think of the left. Unfortunately, I wish we could find a way to, and I think I said this on Friday too, and I said it in the video today, but an example to me is like when Latinx was a thing, where like that's right. We shouldn't, that, like, that type of shit is completely worthless and should go away. But we still have to fight for equal rights for marginalized groups, obviously. So
for sure.
That's how I feel about it.
But like the thing about like that is like, yeah, joke scolds are annoying, but any sort of political strategy that like hangs 80 million people's votes, they're responsible for somebody saying corrected fact checking a joke online, is like, it's not going to work. So you just got to figure out a different, so like, what the fuck?
Well,
like,
right. That, yes, you're right. That is it's like the big Democrat. I don't know what they can even really do about that. I feel like that part of it is related to another massive, one of the most massive problems here. And it's the media problem and right wing having a stranglehold on so much of the media and pop and culture and the narrative and podcasts and all this stuff. Cause I think that's where a lot of that shit actually comes from, is from that. And it's like people on the left who aren't even politicians or whatever else, but just people on the left finding a way to like make inroads into that and appeal to some of these people and demographics without, we're just not cool anymore. Like, it's so, I can't believe like Ben Shapiro is fucking cool now, but when I was an adolescent, I know he's not, but when I was like a 19, 20 year old, the coolest dudes on earth were like Jon Stewart and Stephen Colbert. Now that was the Bush era and the Iraq war and all that stuff, you know, but those guys were cool. Like frat boys in college were packing bowls in dorm rooms and watching those dudes every night. And now it's not just Joe Rogan and the Paul brothers and Aiden Ross and all these streamers or Andrew Tate or whoever. And it's like, culturally the left finding a way to figure out how to appeal to these people again or whatever, I think is important. Getting some of that back, reminding people it's like, no, damn the man, you fight back against power. That's what we stand for. Not getting mad because you did a Chinese man impression on a podcast appearance or whatever. You know, okay.
I want to come back to what that was Danny Deutsch talking right now. If you wonder who he is, he's an ad executive who works in Democratic talk show stuff. And he used to be a judge on The Fucking Apprentice. Okay. And if you're wondering my read on what's going on with these Democratic consultants sort of pitch meetings, I think everyone thinks it's like a woman doing like a long white paper presentation on how to not do heteronormativity and like a Father's Day social media post. But it's like maybe like one of that lady and nine of this guy.
Right.
So before he wins the argument, I want to talk about what he's trying to say, because I've now seen at least two or three major Democrat leaders use openly transphobic rhetoric. And it feels like a very fucking dark trend to me, because like there's no evidence that this did anything in the election. And it's very bad to like just pick a minority group and throw them into a fucking wood chipper to try to save your own ass. Like Seth Moulton, Democratic congressman from Massachusetts, I think, had a top aide resign after he tried to do the, well, I'm for trans rights, but against boys playing girls sports bullshit or whatever, which is like, none of this is about sports. You don't have to buy into that framing. It's not about that. If you wonder how this goes, I mentioned it on Friday, but like, you can go look at what's happening with the Labour Party in the UK, who's leaned hard into anti-immigrant and anti-trans rhetoric. And they would not win the election if it was held today. Tories be back in power. It doesn't fucking work. It's also just completely cowardly. And I understand people like using human shields to say your miserable job. And all these people are willing to sacrifice human lives to stop Trump, but it's never their fucking own.
Mm-hmm.
And that drives me insane. Like, so like saying it's trans people's fault, like, or that like Democrats need to abandon like any sort of human rights issue is not the way to go for me.
No.
Especially because like trans people didn't do anything to make themselves the topic of conversation.
They literally were just out there just existing. And then one day everybody hated them. Like they woke up one day and was like, everybody hates you now. And they just found out that you exist and they need somebody to hate. And that's all. They never really did anything at all. And still happens.
They didn't ask that campaign. They weren't asking for anything. right?
Right.
They're just out there vaguely being trans, I guess, at us somehow. And I don't fucking understand what people are...
Right.
Like, so, like, let's be clear what happened to make this a topic of conversation. It was Trump's ads, okay?
Yeah. Saw that a million was it. Of them. Yeah.
They didn't ask to be the subject of Trump's ads. They weren't asking anything of Donald Trump, right? Mm-hmm. And, like, so they spent $240 million on these ads, okay? And... there's no evidence they did anything except for the Trump campaign did a press tour saying they worked. They said in their focus group it moved 3% of votes. But also, these are people like this is Don Draper selling ad shit. It's basically a guy being like, I told everyone that my idea that made me rich was great. And it worked. Mm-hmm. But it's worth noting that Trump did worse in the swing states that were blanketed with these fucking ads. There's not even any proof that it moved any votes in a helpful way for Donald Trump. It just ginned up hate. It might have motivated his base because a lot of them are fucking hateful. But, like, there's no evidence that it did anything. So, like, this prescription that the Democrats need to get less votes. And, like, let's pretend it isn't just about sports for a second here because I think a lot of people are convinced that it is. And you and I are big sports fans. And sports have weight classes in the fighting sports for a reason. It's unfair to have a bigger person fight a smaller person. Mm-hmm. Everyone agrees with that, okay? But the idea, like, so Michigan Republicans tried to pass a bill a couple years ago to stop trans kids from playing sports that was not the gender they had at birth or whatever.
Yeah.
Okay. They called around to see how many kids there were. There were two, because we're talking about trans girls here. Right? There were two kids in the entire state of Michigan who were playing sports in school. Right. But there were thousands of girls who were playing boys sports because there wasn't a team for them to play on.
Right.
So they pulled the bill because it would have done was screw over a girl. You ever see those human interest stories about a girl kicking for the boys team or whatever? Or we had a co-ed soccer team in my high school because there weren't enough girls to fill a team.
Well, it's not even just that. Yeah. I mean, it's those girls, but it's also girls that are like that. Where was she from? The boxer in the Olympics from
Algeria.
Algeria. Yeah, right. Like girls that are like that, that are like strong and you know, athletic and stuff and not like traditionally feminine or whatever, they get they get fucked over with laws like this too, because they get and then they just end up checking every girl's underwear or that's whatever the fuck is going on. And it's like
there's
just
so few
just to stop two trans girls from playing sport, all that collateral damage is worth all that to y'all for a made up problem. It's
because people are so psychotic about youth sports, like because the two kids in the entire state of Michigan were playing sports, you're going to get 10,000 girls subject to forced genital checks because parents are mad about their kids getting beat. Exactly. And like, so the only way to win this game is to not fucking play it. And so half states in the country have passed like bans on trans medical care for either kids or adults altogether. Florida has a law about bathrooms again. Like the idea this is just about sports is fucking ridiculous. And like, somebody needs to stand up for human beings to be alive. And I like that. If the Democrats are going to fucking blame trans people and think everything else is the same, I'm going to fucking lose my shit. And as far as for Harris's part in this, so some of this is coming from like exit polls show that like way more people thought that Kamala Harris was too liberal than thought Donald Trump was too conservative. I don't understand what thinking about this stuff in terms of left right means anymore when you got most Democrats are in favor of like have a libertarian stance on like online gambling, but Republicans want to ban, like RFK Jr. says it wants to outlaw Mountain Dew. What's the fucking left right paradigm there through which anyone can make sense of any of this shit anymore? Okay. Her platform, if anyone cares, was pretty fucking moderate. Like the small Medicare expansion would have been nice, but she ran on fucking tax cuts. So the too liberal thing is like she is vaguely Californian and educated.
A woman of color and all of that. But it's straight up just branding, right? It's like I think the main thing is that she ran with a D beside her name or whatever, and it's like that's just how people interpret. Because I remember having arguments with. When I lived in Tennessee all the time, having arguments with people who like hated Obama during his second, the conservative friends of mine or what, and the whole thing being like, look, dude, I'm pissed at Obama too. But what you don't understand is that I'm pissed at him because he's way too moderate. He's nowhere near left enough for me. And they couldn't even, because in their minds, he was a straight up communist, like a communist Muslim antichrist level leftist. Like that's genuinely how they saw him. And it was never, he couldn't have been further from that. And that is just, it's still going on today. And I'm saying, I don't know how to fix most people. Like
I was in a bar the night that Obama gave his announcement saying they'd killed bin Laden. And this guy, like we were in Texas, like where I lived at the time. This guy was like, got up face to face with the big screen TV and was flipping him off, cussing him out. And I was like, bro, are you mad they killed Osama bin Laden? I'm trying to figure out what the fuck he's so upset about right now. And I don't know, man. A lot of people are fucking lost. And it's like, it's not even you can't even really debate them. But you go look at all the words that Kamala Harris said about trans issues during the campaign. It might fill up like a paragraph. Right. It wasn't a big issue in her platform. And it might have been because politicians are human starting guns. It might have made life worse for trans people if she had made it some sort of campaign issue. The only thing I remember her saying about it was like that when she was asked about the surgery, taxpayer-funded surgeries in prisons, which is just a stance that people in prison get health care. She made the point that, well, I would follow the law as president. And by the way, Donald Trump followed the same law when he was president. So like there's nothing she did that was woke, but like there a bunch of people pretending she ran a campaign based upon identity politics when she, the only person that mentioned she was black the whole fucking time was Trump.
Also, at the same time, there was nothing that Joe Biden did to ruin our economy or whatever. In fact, the economy was mostly good and inflation was lower here than in most places, but the perception was that the economy is terrible because bread is so expensive or whatever. And that was as far as most people got. And it didn't matter what any of the, because the truth is not, the truth ain't even relevant no more. Like the truth is just shaped by how people get their information and what is feeding them. And that's related to what I was trying to say a minute ago. I don't know how to get all this across, but I'm saying, and so many people are already too far gone, but it's like, I do think the identity politics part of it, I do think it matters like culturally when it comes to like, all these Gen Z kids and shit that are so far down the rabbit hole now, when it's like when they're 16 and they make a gay joke on Twitter on their face or whatever happens. And then someone, you know, goes at them hard for that and they're overly sensitive and they're little crybabies or whatever. But then they because of that, they're like, well, fuck you. And they instead turn towards that right wing ecosystem when they're young and can't even vote yet, but they spend 5-6 years in that. And by the time that they're voting age, they're like, it's over. Whereas when I was a kid, it was like kind of the opposite, like the stuff, you know what I'm saying? Like the stuff that appealed to boys my age and shit back then was shit like The Daily Show and everything. And there, so it's like a culture war thing is what I'm saying. The Democratic Party, I don't know, because they get blamed for shit they're not even actually doing.
But that's what I'm saying. Like, what do you want to do about like somebody on TikTok shaming somebody? What's the government supposed to do about it? Right? Like, let's say, like, how do you build a political movement? How do you build a political movement around everyone being like reactionary about some feminist on TikTok making a joke about a guy having a small dick and becoming like a radicalizing phenomenon? You can't do anything about it. Like, it's like we got to figure out a way to return to like some sort of material discussion of like of stuff, because like, we're going to talk about the economy a lot in a minute. And like, there's like the macro indicators were like, we were on a good path sort of, but also things are too expensive and people's wages aren't keeping up. And like all that stuff's true. It just didn't get fixed fast enough. And anyways, we'll get to in a second, but like to finish this off for a second, this topic, if Kamala Harris, instead of just being quiet about it, which you can spin as either cynically smart, actually helpful to try to keep trans people from being such a contentious issue, or just cowardly, however you want to think about it. If she had come out for like a national ban on like on trans girls playing boys sport, trans girls playing girls sports, they would have said she was lying or pandering. It would have made a difference. She could have beheaded a trans person on live television and the right wing would have said, well, it's just one, she's still woke, right? And it's like, because all this stuff is manufactured, like because it's not a real issue, the hope is here Trump can just say he solved it and we can all fucking move on. But like, because it's all manufactured bullshit, you got to figure out a way to disarm or rebut the manufactured bullshit, or we're just going to live here for a second. By the way, people have done this. Andy Beshear and Tony Evers got hit with this stuff and remain super popular in states that Trump just won. They just don't talk about like sophomore sociology majors. Bashir wrote another op-ed in the New York Times today where he once again quoted the Bible about loving all God's children. And he fucking gets reelected by decent margins in Kentucky. And even if you did, here's my appeal, okay? I've made the case that it didn't have any electoral impact, or not the ones people pretending that it did. The trans people are human, that there should be a party that stands up for minority rights. Even if you threw trans people under the bus, they'll just find another group to fearmonger about.
Yeah. I mean, that's been their whole MO for as long as any of us have ever been alive. And before that, like they just, that's how they ended up on trans people. They, you know, moved from, you know, black people to gay people, and then black people in the '80s to gay people in the '90s. Don't get me wrong. They kept hating both of those groups. But then as those groups got more and more rights, it became less socially acceptable to hate them publicly. They moved on to the next one. And when that happened with gay people, when gay marriage getting legalized and all that, then the next step was, they find out about trans people and they're like, well, that's going to be the boogeyman then. And not, I mean, and then immigrants are always like, right, they always come in and out of the cycle of hatred. So that's nothing new either, but
they just jump-started another fear-mongering panic 2 weeks ago about Mauritanians. I have never in my life thought about, and there's no offense to my Mauritanian brothers and sisters. Right. I've never in my life thought about Mauritanians. Right. I'm not aware what the racist jokes about Mauritanians are or what the stereotypes about them are. But anyway, so whatever, it just, you got to figure out a way to rebut bullshit instead of just fucking surrendering to it. Otherwise, we're just always going to be fucking stuck here. And they'll be like, when they start be able to replace amputees with, fix their stuff with robot parts, there'll be stereotypes about half robot people, about they're not have human souls, and they'll start getting oppressed. The shit will never fucking stop, man. And I just like would urge people, we're doing this blame game, to focus your ire at the powerful fucking people who fucked us and are going to continue to fuck us, and not your fellow American citizens who are also going to be fucked alongside you. Okay, so there's that. Been worse than you, right? I'm a straight white guy. It's not lost on me that I will probably be fine outside of the economic collapse part of this, and that's sucks. It sucks to see people you care about suffer, man.
Well, that's the thing too. I feel like one of the only coping mechanisms available is not hoping. At the end of the day, it would be great if America just hit real hard in every way and things like went great, even with Trump as president. Would that be a little hard for me to swallow on a personal level? Yes, but I have children. I live here. If things actually, by some miracle, did go well, that would be awesome. I would be all for that. But I don't at all believe that's going to happen. And the idea of, like we said, people, the American electorate, the people between the 45-yard lines, all that, they're highly reactionary. And the idea that if it does become catastrophic, if it does get as bad as a lot of us think it's going to get, like, surely that will have some kind of impact on the same people who were so mad about milk and egg prices, you know, a week ago, right? Like, if that happens with this administration, because, I mean, you could argue that's kind of what happened in 2020. Like, people thought it was like a repudiation, however small, of Trump and everything he stood for. But really, it was more just like things had gone to shit big time with him in office when the 2020 election happened, and he got punished for it. He lost. And it's like, when you look at all the incumbents around the world who lost because of inflation and all that, it's like, it just seems like that maybe might be most of what it comes down to at the end of the day. So, you know,
I hadn't thought about this way, because we talked about, I'm trying to repeat myself on Friday's show a bunch, but we talked about all every kind of incumbent party around the world, Western democracies getting shit wrecked.
On both sides, right? Some of them are
left, right,
some,
center, wherever.
Yeah, right.
But I hadn't thought about it this way, but I saw somebody make the point today that it's like cell phones are part of this, because they're just outrage machines. So it's possible that an incumbent party never fucking wins again because everyone's just so constantly mad and unsatisfied.
There will always be something to be mad about. Yeah, no matter who's in charge. Yeah, I could buy that. That sucks, but I could buy that.
Yeah, so let's talk about Democrats and where they might go from here and where they should go from here. The transphobia thing, I think, will pass. I think once they get hardcore electoral data and they sit in their feelings for another moment or two, they'll let go of that. But so much shit has fucking failed us, man. Media, courts, Biden's Justice Department, Congress. Today we're going to focus mostly on the Democratic Party, including some self-flagellation on my part, because I fucking got, I got took. I got shit on for never being hopeful enough, and I decided to try for my own mental health to try. And then, unfortunately, my lizard brain was correct the whole time.
Ain't that just the way? That's what hope will do to you. It's the hope that gets you, really. Speaking as a Tennessee sports fan and a lifelong Democrat from the South, it's the hope that really fucks you over at the end of the day.
So you can basically divide the post-election reactions of people in power and the Democratic Party into two groups, genuine attempts to grapple with reality, of which there are a few, and then the larger group of soothing rationalizations of what just happened, which will allow people in power to continue on in their nice lives. And that's what we should all push back against. I learned a new word the other day, another new term, sorry, it's called pathological presentism, coined by a writer by the name of Mike Davis. It's a... I think we'll all immediately clock that we live in this reality. The basic idea is everyone's making all calculations on the basis of short-term bottom lines in order to allow the super rich to consume all the good things of the earth within their lifetimes, leads to an inability to understand global change and rulers who are blind to the need for change. And yeah, I mean, you can sort of like, you walk through everyone's decision-making from like, you know, the people that run public companies to government institutions to political parties. You can understand their short-term thinking, but there's nothing beyond that. Like Trump thinks 2 minutes ahead and the Democrats think maybe 30 minutes ahead. And there's not really a big concern for like the long-term future at all. Not even really their own electoral standing outside of what a poll is going to say a week from now. And I'm guilty of this too. All right. Because losing sight of the big picture, every decision that the Harris campaign was making and Biden before her had a logic to it. But like I my basic thinking was, I hope we could muddle through this era of Donald Trump being a fucking emergency until he stroked out in a toilet, and then we could fix all this. All right. It was a kind of cope, and I got things in the wrong fucking order. You needed to fix it to prevent Trump from him being able to fucking return. And by it, I means like, you know, in times of crisis, I think it's important to return to first principles. And I think the government should do more left-wing economic policy and protect more people and make people's quality of lives better in direct and seeable ways for them. And I had sort of deluded myself into thinking that the little bit of stuff, the stuff that Biden was doing was going to lead to longer term change when he wasn't, in fact, just skipping ahead to doing the direct stuff as much as he should have been doing. You know what I'm saying?
No, I mean, no, go on. What do you mean?
Incrementalism?
You're like, oh, this could...
I was willing to let them try it because, like, okay, for example, like he expanded Medicaid in a lot of important ways, but he also clawed it back from people in some ways. But also, like, the COVID safety net expansion that happened, they should have fought tooth and nail to keep every drop of that. Now, I'm not delusional. But, like so, for example, the debate over the child tax credit, when they locked it in 2020, 2021, I forget, it had no work requirement, which I hate fucking means testing bullshit, okay? Joe Manchin fucking hated it. Also, even people who got the child tax credit hated that it didn't have a work requirement. It polled fucking awfully. So they let it expire. And I was like, but don't believe what people are saying in fucking polls, because they're going to be mad about you taking it away from them, even if they don't like the work, the lack of a work requirement. Mm-hmm. Right? So like, you got to stop following short-term polls. What the Democrats are going to tell themselves now coming out of this is, well, we did all the, you know, stuff to help deliverism stuff that to help people, and they fucking voted against it. So what the fuck are you going to do? I'm like, what? They didn't think you did. Mm-hmm. So like, you should have just done it. You lost anyway. And so this other part of this, like, if you're going to lose anyway, you might as well, instead of being like, well, we lost anyway, we might as well do the wrong thing, maybe we'll win. It's like, no, if you lost anyway, you might as well do the fucking right thing. Why is that nobody's thinking? It was just too much work.
I don't know. It's just always, you know, playing not to lose, I guess, and being reactionary and all that. Like,
the cautiousness is going, we're going to die of cautiousness, basically, right, is what's happening right now. I did want to say, like, talk about the limits of messaging, because people are going to talk about messaging a lot, like where they use the right poll tested buzzwords. And I think for the most part, I mean, of course, a lot of people get their news from TikTok and shit. And like, I don't know, I'm not sure what the fucking solution is to that. But like, I saw an interview with the guy who had gotten the message about how Trump is the new Hitler. He had heard it and conceded it. And he said, I do not like his authoritarian Hitler instincts. I understand that he's kind of like the next Hitler, but I voted for him anyway. And it was because he thinks he's going to like economically rejuvenate the Rust Belt. Now, I don't understand that line of thinking.
What reason do you think that even? You know? But yeah.
I know Joe Biden had tried. Like, he passed a lot of infrastructure stuff that had opened factories back up in the Rust Belt. But if what, like, we only get 4 years now, if every incumbent party is going to get, like, got a huge chance of getting voted out, so you just got to fucking do it faster. I don't know, man.
To me, in my head, I try to think I'm a very practical person. To me, the message of the alternative is horrific. We are not that. At least give us this much. Like, to me, that is effective because of how much I fear the alternative. But to most people, it's evidently not. And it's like people do want, you know, change. Like, people don't like the status quo and haven't for a long time. Like, Obama was a huge change candidate in 2018, massively. And then Trump, too. And Trump and Bernie in the primaries. And Bernie had all this juice, right? And then it didn't turn out that way. And then Trump was the change guy. And a lot of Bernie people went for Trump. But it's like, it's not, you can't just be like, no, things were pretty okay and we should mostly keep them the way they are and just not let them get worse, you know, versus like, no, fuck that. I hate to say it, drain the swamp or whatever, but like,
unironically, drain the swamp.
Right. Yes. Yeah. Like, yes. No, fuck all. It's been bad on both sides and we got a fucking clean house and that's not good enough anymore and start doing better for people and like, be proactive and actually progressive and run on like change and shit instead of just like, we'll keep things as kind of okay as they sort of have been for a while instead of letting the world fall apart. Like, again, that worked well enough for me, but it clearly don't work for most people. Like, you got to do more than that.
And I hope the next Democratic president realizes they might have to break a few norms to get shit done. Like, you know, work your ass off to scrap the filibuster, pressure people. Not just be like, well, I don't want to break in the filibuster. Be like, well, what are you going to do? Joe Manchin says no. The Senate parliamentarian says no. I mean, it's like, you got to go faster or we're all going to die. So there are a lot of interesting asymmetries here because like it's interesting watching like this, the crisis of faith. And Democrats really do not feel they ever have a mandate to govern, even when they win a landslide election. Trump seems to think he has a mandate because he won by like a point and a half. We still don't have the final popular vote titles, but Democrats are losing by a point and a half or like our brand is worse than Pol Pot. So we need to make an example with executions. And Republicans after losing by 4.5 or like, let's run the same guy again. It's fucking the difference between the parties. It's like, at least most people, I know there's election denialism right now, but at least most people are accepting reality. Part of the reaction to it and the anger is like the stakes are way different. Republicans don't really believe that Joe Biden's going to kill them or whatever. So even no matter what they say, so like they lose to Joe Biden or Kamala Harris, it's not that big of a fucking deal. But losing to Trump is a disaster. So it's not about rebuilding a party that can never lose by 2 points. It's about rebuilding a party that can never lose to Donald Trump by 2 points. This is like if Air Force went 0-2 in wars against the United States Air Force went 0-2 in wars against Liechtenstein. You'd be like, bro, what the fuck are you guys doing, man? This is like a horrific fuck up. Like, so we need like a different strategy, different equipment,
agree with that, but it would be if like that happened, but Liechtenstein had the entire weight of not just Russia, but 60% of the richest people on earth or whatever behind.
Fair enough. Pushing, yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, but I hear you. But because again, that's I just like, keep coming back to that, man, where it's like, is I think one of the biggest problems. You're like, I don't know what you're supposed to do, but I don't know who these people are. Maybe they don't exist. Maybe that's why we're losing. But it's like all these people that have all this money and power and influence, and they use it to prop up all these stories about Russia paying fucking right wing shit talkers $400,000 a month and stuff like that. And I'm not just saying this because you and I are left wing shit talkers. That's not the only reason I'm saying it. But like that should also be happening, like because to even the playing field, like it's not. I know it's like on a campaign to campaign level, she had and spent more money than he did or whatever. But like when you look at the bigger picture with the reality that's sculpted for people, what people believe and people like Elon Musk and Rupert Murdoch and all these people and the influence and Joe Rogan and the influence that they have, like we're getting whipped on that front. The left is getting destroyed as far as that part goes. And it's like, I don't know exactly how to fix it, but if there's any super rich people out there that care about it for any reason, they need to be trying to figure it out, or they're going to be strung up with the rest of them whenever the revolution finally comes. I don't know.
By the way, Rogan endorsed Bernie in 2020. Like, it's like the idea that like that we need a left-wing Joe Rogan thing is a little bit overstated to me because like, yeah, Zoomer guys are a bit reactionary right now. Maybe they grow out of it, maybe they don't. And going back to what you were talking about, people being able to joke or whatever, like young men typically, young white men especially, till you have an edgelord phase that they mature out of. And that's like, whatever. But like the magic of Rogan, to the extent he has any, is he doesn't talk about politics a lot. It's like a 3-hour podcast where they're joking around talking about sports and MMA or whatever, right. Then occasionally talks about politics.
True. And I've always been the one who's a Joe Rogan apologist for most of the time, but I'm saying like the people that are adjacent to him, the people in his fucking orbit that people find through him and stuff and get roped into. And some of those people are not like that and are way worse. But again, I'm not trying to just keep harping on this, but you're right. Like young men, they do have an edgelord phase that they naturally go through. And I'm saying, because I think all the time about shit I did and said when I was that age, I would never want people to hear. I'm so glad there's not tape of it or whatever. So ashamed of it as a 38-year-old man. But I always was a big lefty even then. And I'm saying back then, being an edgelord did not push me in one political direction. Do you understand what I'm saying? Whereas now that's become part of the philosophy or the alignment politically. I knew a lot of edgelord leftists because, you know, you'd be an edgelord and fucking talk about how Jesus is gay and fuck Jesus. That was edgelord stuff, but it was lefty edgelord stuff when I was a kid. Now edgelords are like automatically aligned with the right from an early age. And I don't know exactly how to fix that, but I'm saying, I think that's a part of the problem. Like
it's like, I mean, like I understand what you're saying. I just don't think that's in the top 10 problems. Like it's a problem for women who want to find a guy to marry in their 20s. It's not I don't think it's an electoral problem for America.
Electorally, maybe not. But I mean, Zoomers aren't going anywhere, right? What if they don't like?
But what I'm saying is like the part you're describing is like there's not like the manosphere is it's like there's nothing. I don't know what anyone outside that bubble can do to pierce it. Like you can't build your own. Because it's built around guys who are into like MMA and football and lifting weights, and then that are baited into being anti-feminist because it's just like kind of cool or whatever. And I don't know what it. Anyway, I want to get back to.
So you talk about MMA and football and shit like that without being one of those people.
MMA is super right wing. There's nothing that it exists as a phenomenon. Like there's nothing you can't make left wing MMA content. You just can't do it. It doesn't exist.
I could try, Mark. Don't tell me I couldn't do it.
Good luck with it.
Anyway, go ahead.
So sorting through the records of this and trying to make sense of it is part of this. We got to concede, like, one of the reasons I think returning to first principles is important here. What does the party stand for and where should it go? Because you can't really make sense of a lot of these results. For example, you look at states where Kamala Harris won. Kamala Harris lost. I'm sorry. Jackie Rosen won the Senate seat in Nevada with fewer votes than Kamala got when she lost. Same with Tammy Baldwin in Wisconsin. Same with Alyssa Slotkin in Michigan. They got less votes than Kamala Harris in one state she lost. Alyssa Slotkin has an Ivy League degree and worked for the CIA. So plug that into your We Hate Elites machine and tell me what the fuck happened there, okay? The best guess anyone has is like, if you want to like a little bit of cope here, it's possible Trump has the potential to be even less popular the second time around for a lot of reasons. But in 2016, he basically converted Obama Trump voters into straight ticket Republican voters, but they did not do that this time. A lot of people either voted for a Democratic senator and Donald Trump or walked in and just voted for Donald Trump and walked out. I don't know what to make of that, but somebody's going to try to make sense of it at some point. Okay. And while we're about to make the case that they should do more left-wing economic populism, I got to concede here some electoral reality stuff. This could be because people are propagandized. It could be because of how they feel. It could be just a general like anti-incumbent movement. But I got to like point out that fucking California just voted maybe to prevent raising minimum wage or still count votes with the propositions that the ballot measure is losing. Californians definitely voted to lock more people up for being drug addicts. They also voted to fucking keep slavery legal in California. Okay. So
right. Specifically, it's the, if you go to prison, you can be a slave basically. Right. That's the first, and don't get me wrong. I voted against slavery. Just want to put that on the record. I did.
Yeah.
And I'm felt opposed good. To it.
Yeah.
But it's this thing. We talked about this before too. I ran into it so many times. If somebody who has felons in his family or whatever, and I've posted and talked about prison rights and prisoners and stuff over the years, the right and left, but the right way more so. But there's tons of people on the left in this country, dude, who have like no sympathy whatsoever for any kind of criminal or felon or what. There's a bloodlust in America for people who fuck up criminally. And even a lot of people on the left, like, if you are a felon, you break the law at a felonious level, sorry, you've just forfeited the rest of your life and nobody really gives a fuck about you. And you should be thrown in the trash for the rest of your existence as far as most of this country is concerned. That's just the reality. Like, even in a state like California, that's just how – it's a cultural thing with this country, I guess. But it's, like, it's very real. And
I hate it. I hate it. And we're going to get to, like, maybe we need elite accountability to vent people's bloodlust at people who fucking deserve it instead of somebody who just got hooked on pills
Some guillotine or shit. So, satisfy the bloodlust with a guillotine. That's a good idea.
It'd be healthier for society. But, like, I'm trying to square the circle here of people who are, like, we have to secure the border because my poor sainted family members have gotten hooked on drugs and fentanyl. But also, people that do fentanyl should do 30 years in prison. Because that doesn't make any fucking sense to me.
Right.
So anyway, yeah, the prison slaves are mostly used in California besides making t-shirts the underwear company with the fruit, Fruit of the Loom. Made t-shirts for Fruit of the Loom. They also used to fight wildfires. And because Trump's not going to give any FEMA assistance to California, we probably do need the wildfire slaves. So we need some volunteers to commit more felonies, maybe get locked up for fentanyl so we have some firefighters. So also talking about Through the Looking Glass, something to concede here that I don't know how to make sense of. While California voted heavily reactionary, the populist ballot initiatives seem to do better in red states. Like Missouri got family leave and I can't make any fucking sense of this shit, dude. So that anyway, this is why we're going to get back to some first principles because trying to parse through this and come up with a strategy is fucking stupid. So it's why it's important to have values because you can never stray from those, right? The overarching problem hanging over everything that impacted this election is just fucking money.
Of course. Absolutely.
Just money, dude. Dark money this cycle, $4.5 billion just in dark money. It's not what was spent by the campaigns. That's up from $3 billion just 4 years ago. So 50% increase in 4 years from what was a record, at that point, a record amount, okay? And it's hard to be optimistic about this shit because everyone involved, win or lose, is getting their cut. Like, the Harris campaign outraised Trump $1 billion to $400 million in total, and she only had 100 days to do it. A lot of people that work for the Harris campaign are going to be buying big-ass boats off this fucking shit. And they will be hired.
Yeah, I think it's weird about that to me. I was going to say maybe it's because I live in California, but that honestly makes even less sense to me, I feel like, because California is such a foregone conclusion as a blue state. But, like, watching football games while living in California, I just saw so many political ads, and I feel like I saw way more Trump ads than Harris ads. I saw Harris ads, but, like, the Trump ad about the "she's for they, them, he's for us," or whatever, and all the, like, transphobic ads you were talking about earlier. Maybe it's just because I notice them more because I hate them so much, but, like, I just felt I was endlessly inundated with those. So to find out that they had an almost 3-to-1 advantage, you know, it's like, where did that go? What did they use it for?
Well, I don't know who paid for that. That could have been dark money, which case.
Oh, you're right. Yeah, those could be PACs and shit. You're right. That's a good point. Yeah.
But also, like, spending in California is about, like there are a lot of California Republicans in the House, right? Mm-hmm. That's part of it too. So it's about down ballot, down ticket stuff. So yeah, the fact that a bunch of Democratic consultants got rich off this is I find dispiriting because, like, you know, the old Mark, I think it's Mark Twain quote, it's hard to get a man to understand something when his paycheck depends upon him not understanding it. But the rest of us who don't make a profit off the system should definitely demand they do everything possible to get fucking money out of politics. I know that that's going to be tough without, you know, killing half the Supreme Court or whatever, but, like, I don't know how we move forward in this type of situation.
Me neither, but so many people that are in politics have gotten there because of money in politics, and they're still influenced by money in politics, and they are the people who could get money out of politics. So other than your stray Bernie or AOC or whatever who pops up every once in a blue moon and that type of thing, who's going to fucking make that happen? You know, I mean, I agree with you. That's the number one problem, really, at the end of the day, but I don't see any real hope for that getting fixed or anything in the near future.
Right. So the campaign's broke, by the way. They raised $1 billion and they're fucking broke. I don't know where the fuck the money went. They spent six figures redecorating a hotel room so she could tape that Call Her Daddy podcast. They apparently spent $20 million on a concert series. Billy Corbin, the filmmaker.
What the fuck is that, dude? Anyway, all right, go ahead.
Yeah, do you know Billy Corbin's, who Billy Corbin is? He's a documentary filmmaker. He made Cocaine Cowboys. No, that's Billy Corgan. But yeah, Billy Corbin, yeah. Billy Corbin made Cocaine Cowboys, all right? He's also a big, he resigned from Miami-Dade Democrat Party. He's from Florida. This morning, he wrote a pretty scathing resignation letter. I want to quote from here. The Florida and Miami-Dade Democrats have been hijacked and held hostage by a consultant cartel and complicit leadership who exploit the hard work of dedicated members and volunteers to destroy the party for your own power and profit. These are no longer legitimate political organizations. They are at best social clubs and at worst cesspools of incompetent grifters and opportunists. You've become the Washington Generals of politics, controlled opposition paid to lose. You're about vanity and money, not doing the necessary work to win elections. This is just another Miami hustle, the kind of cabal I'd make a documentary about and not be a part of.
Yeah, as a side note, Miami-Dade heavily favored Trump, right? They got their Trump won Miami-Dade County, which was wild. That was one of the first big harbingers of doom when that happened. Mm-hmm. But yeah, he's talking about the Democrats. But I think a lot of people think that, like, there's a lot of people at the top in big Democrat who, yeah, it's like being in the position they're in, constantly losing and going on and on about how awful things are and how we need to do better and fight back or whatever, but losing while doing it so nothing ever changes, so they're in a position to keep bitching or whatever, that there's a lot of people in positions of power in the Democratic Party who, like, that's what they want. That's what they like. They like that being the case, you know, that they're really not interested in winning. Right. They're not interested. It's like Chris Rock's old bit about how, like, the money's not in the cure for a disease. The money's in the medicine or whatever. Like, if they actually fix a lot of this stuff, they'd be out of a fucking job. But as it stands, they're going to be in constant demand because nothing ever changes and nothing ever gets better. So it serves
the cure for this would be running a bunch of candidates who are for getting money out of politics. But guess what that would do? It would cut off their fucking gravy train. And Corbin makes the point in this piece that, like, these are the people in charge of recruiting candidates. They're picking the candidates who then hire them. So this is just like no way to run anything. These are the people who are going to be telling Democrats that they're trans people under the bus and they'll be able to win next time, when really the solution is to fire these motherfuckers, right?
Absolutely. And so when there first started being reports coming out of, because when Harris's campaign first started and she named Walls and all that, there was a lot of optimism. And we even said on the show, we're like, you're making all the right moves. And then a week or two after that, the reports start coming out of these consultants taking over, these like old Democrat consultants taking over and shifting things. And you said at the time, you were like, this is not good. And I'm not saying it would have mattered at the end of the day or it would have like made the difference, but it definitely didn't fucking help. And these people have way too much power. And yeah, drain the swamp, dude. They need to go. The Democrats need to clean house. It's like a full scale rebuild in professional sports or something. You need to clean house, coach, GM, everybody. And start over from the fucking ground up. Draft a new quarterback in the first round. You know, you do all that shit.
And I want to say that there are people with true, like, progressive beliefs who are active in Democratic politics who are trying to fucking make a difference here. But the problem is, like, and this is the counterintuitive take considering that the party just got wiped out in the election, but I think we need to make the tent a little bit smaller when it comes to, like, the ideas people, because it's not really clear what the Democratic Party stands for, because oftentimes it's very muddy, because a bunch of people, the candidates who are selected by these fucking consultants, say a bunch of mealy-mouthed shit. But again, I'm not trying to be too arrogant here. A bunch of people that ran like Republicans won, right? So, like, whatever. Mm-hmm. Maybe I don't fucking know shit. But here's a quote from Cinda Lake, a Democratic pollster, on talking to focus groups. Quote, everyone knows what Trump economics is. China, tariffs, tax cuts. Then you go to them and ask, what are Democratic economics? And someone will make a joke about welfare and half the people can't name anything. It's nothing like the Republican brand. All right. So I'm not sure how you wrangle a herd of cats of the Democratic Party into a cogent message about left-wing populism, but somebody has to start fucking figuring it out. We got to skip ahead a little bit here, but like I said, the people are giving, like, look, if you start, depending on how you squint, look at it, if you start from the premise the Democratic, anybody associated with the incumbent party in the presidency was inherently fucked, you can squint and say they did an admirable job here, because her coattails weren't super negative. and she lost the swing states by less than she lost the other Trump's the states that Trump won. So you can sort of say that all the organizing helped, that spending the $1 billion on door knockers helped, yada, yada, yada. You can squint and say that. But also, people are going to die because you lost. Yep. And that's worth to keep in mind here, okay? So I did see exactly three reputable ranking Democrats actually being introspective, which is more than I expected this early. I do want to say, at the time, we were like, why the fuck is she campaigning with Liz Cheney? Still don't get it. I can't point to that it cost her much, but I can tell her it looks like she got less Republican votes than Biden did a couple years ago. So whatever it did, it didn't do fucking
didn't
much.
Didn't help, yeah.
And if you're wondering how Trump gets to be seen as a political outsider when he was an incumbent president 4 years ago and he's standing beside the richest guy in America, it's because he's not standing next to the people that got us into fucking Iraq, okay? Mm-hmm. So in talking about a certain kind of Democrats never going to fucking learn anything, Richie Torres, fucking New York congressman, said it wasn't Liz, talking about Liz Cheney, it was AOC, a guy who's on a first name basis, Liz Cheney. But I do want to say to Richie Torres,
it was AOC. That's what he said. It wasn't Liz. It was AOC. AOC. There were people that voted for AOC that voted for fucking Trump.
She had a bunch of crossover voters. Okay. Right. So like the idea that she doesn't know how to win in this environment, he does, is fucking stupid. But let me talk about some small vote totals here.
I'm saying AOC, those guys, Democrats like that, dude. That's they gotta go or adapt.
Right.
Because they're the fucking problem, man.
Or just shut the fuck up, man. Like, if you want some data here, AOC got more votes in her district than Kamala did. Richie Torres got less votes in his district than Kamala did. And like you said, AOC asked her constituents. She actually talks to her constituents. That's a fucking crazy thing for a politician to do, right? And let me read. She asked some of her people who voted for both her and Donald Trump, why'd you do that? And let me read you some quotes. It's real simple. Trump and you care for the working class. I feel like you and Trump are both real. I would have voted for you and Trump, but I live in California. this is like, so like the idea, like, the, I don't know what to tell people, man. Like people want, the consultants want it to be one way, but it's the other way. And if you ever wondered, like we did, We had best guesses, but if you wonder why she stopped, why Kamala Harris stopped going so hard rhetorically on press gougers, though, to be fair, it was still in her a lot of her paid media, and why Tim Walz got yanked from the fucking mound like a pitcher who gave up 5 runs in the first inning, even though he was doing great. Let me quote here from this piece in the Atlantic. These are sourced to people. These are Biden dead enders, so you can take whatever they say with a grain of salt, because a lot of them have, you know, hard feelings about the way it ended for old Joe. Okay. While Harris was stuck defending the Biden economy and hobbled by lingering anger over inflation, attacking big business allowed her to go on the offense. Then quite suddenly, this strain of populism disappeared. One Biden aide told me that Harris steered away from such hard-edged messaging at the urging of her brother-in-law, Tony West, who is Uber's chief legal officer. To win the support of CEOs, Harris jettisoned a strong argument that deflected attention from one of her weakest issues. Instead, the campaign elevated Mark Cuban as one of his chief surrogates, the sort of rich guy she'd recently attacked. So, Kamala Harris didn't choose her brother-in-law, obviously. And I understand she loves her family. But also, I think Uber's an evil company. And taking his advice on political messaging feels, at best, like... Brer Rabbit telling you to throw him in the briar patch, you know? And I want to say, like, a lot of these people want to be able to talk out of both sides of their mouth because they want to be able to kind of regulate these industries and also get hired by them as a lobbyist or on their board after they leave office or be able to go to parties with them and shit. And I want to say that's a cool thing about fucking Bernie Sanders. He would never fucking go to a cocktail party, okay?
Right.
Yeah. When you start voting for fucking curmudgeons, you don't care if people like them, okay? And like, part of, yeah, I can't believe.
One thing that sucks that makes Bernie so special and people like him is that a lot of the people like that don't want that job or don't want to have to deal with that world. Do you know what I mean? They don't want to, they have no draw towards, they're social workers and shit. They help people on like a day to day basis in their real lives. They don't, they're not drawn to the fucking, the fame and the power and the spotlight and dealing with all the bullshit that comes with big politics. And so we end up with what's left except for a few, like precious few. You know,
yeah, we have a lot. We had too much to talk about. Once again, I'll save some of this for next week because we talked about this for a while, I guess. But the rest of it was going to be, I think, a path forward. And I'm not It's not enough to think that campaigning on left-wing economics would like be some immediate electoral winner, like we ran on like so on like, you know, Medicare for all, that that would immediately be some panacea that like everyone would vote for, because people don't trust it and they don't trust the party brand. Right. And I was going to make a whole argument for the way to do it was what the stuff Biden administration was starting to do more of, which is antitrust and go after corporate villains. So then people trust you, be on their side, then you can do the other stuff. But I do want to quote this FDR. Here's a speech FDR gave in 1936 in Madison Square Garden. A lot of Madison Square Garden political events coming up here lately. Quote, we had to struggle with the old enemies of peace, business and financial monopoly, speculation, reckless banking, class antagonism, sectionalism, war profiteering. They had begun to consider the government of the United States as a mere appendage to their own affairs. We now know that government by organized money is just as dangerous as government by organized mob. Never before in all our history have these forces been so united against one candidate as they stand today. They're unanimous in their hate for me, and I welcome their hatred. I welcome their fucking hatred. He didn't say fucking, but I'm going to say it. So we need to find a Democrat who will talk that way. Because Trump does talk that way. He's just fucking lying. And like this is maddening. Sorry.
I do agree with it if we find another FDR that would hit for me. But no, you're right.
A non-racist FDR.
Yeah. Well, yeah, it was a different time. But anyway. Like Mark said, we're going to be continuing to attempt to unpack this for God knows how long. But either way, thank you all for still being here with us. We appreciate everybody that hasn't yet given up. And even if you're just taking a break, that's fine. You can't hear me right now, but I'll see you again in the future, I hope. Go to treycrowder.com. Check out my upcoming tour dates. Go to weeklyskews.com/more or go on Patreon and search for my name. Either way, sign up on Patreon, get some bonus skews in your life, support the show in the process. But most importantly, you keep watching on Skewsdies, and we'll be here. We ain't going nowhere. So we'll see you next time. Love you. Bye.
Skew.